Jump shot. It's good. Zach Randolph does it again. 3-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
First team all defense. First team all defense.
Here's Gasol from outside.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, as newly, we're your hosts, Sean Coleman and Mark King. What's going on, man?
Hey, good morning. How are you, bud?
I'm good. Last night was a bit of a kerfuffle in the house. That's why we didn't record this last night, because my kids decided to want to fight with each other. But that's life when you have kids. So, you know, it is what it is.
Same here. We don't have too many fights between me and my wife and our two dogs. But, you know, hey, you know, when you're in nice relationship together, it happens.
When you have been together as long. And here's the thing is that we are always together, much for the most part, because I work from home anyway. I've been working from home for like a decade. And my wife doesn't, you know, she works, she takes care of our children, but she's also at home. So our whole family has been at home for a long time. So we've got experience in being around each other for a long period of time, which has helped us. But we're usually able to leave the home and be like, all right, we just got to go do something. But now we can't. And so that's difficult sometimes. So I'm sure everybody else is dealing with the same thing. Today, we're going to talk about continue the conversation of our favorite seasons from the past. I don't know, modern history of the Grizzlies. We're talking about the 2012-2013 Grizzlies, as well as this year, because I feel like this year, honestly, whatever the outcome you feel like, and we can start with this year, just some leading into it, whatever the outcome you feel like, what's going to happen this year, whether they're not going to finish, or whether even if they do finish and they have some type of play-in tournament for the eighth seed, or they get the eighth seed, any combination or whatever it is to the finish this year, it still has been a super fun season because of Ja Morant, because of Tyus Stones, because of all the things that have happened this year and the emergence of Taylor Jenkins. All that has been super fun to watch no matter what happens, because they were never going to win the championship anyway. So that's not like the end goal. So it really doesn't matter.
Agreed. And the whole thing about it is that, you know, that's the thing. I don't think that this year's team is the best team in Grizzlies history. I do feel like that this team is, you know, if we're going to talk about the 2012-2013 team and we're going to talk about this year's team, I think those are the two best candidates in Grizzlies franchise history of the teams that overachieve. So I think it's you know, pretty convenient we're talking about both of them in the same show.
Well, this year, like I said, I think both of them can kind of just be like you said, they're probably the most overachieved, if you want to say that, but they're just the most fun. Honestly, yeah. It's been obviously several years since all of us have been able to watch this year's games and just be like, man, this is just fun to watch. Like Ja Morant, it's just fun to watch.
Yeah, 100%. And the other thing I'll say, besides overachieving, is, you know, we're going to talk about the year that, you know, the 2012-2013 season, that's the year that set the bar. That is the ceiling of what the Grizzlies' success has been as a franchise. We know that we can establish a consistent, you know, a playoff contender, but, you know, can we get to the point of being a championship contender? And we're going to talk about the 12-13 team, which is the bar that's been set. But like I say, I can make an argument any day of the week and believe in it wholeheartedly that the two most naturally talented basketball talents to ever be drafted by Memphis are playing for the Grizzlies right now. I know that Gasol and all them have played, but in terms of they started their career and they're going to spend a good part of their career with Memphis, I feel like that besides Pau Gasol, Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant are the two most naturally talented basketball players to ever put on a Grizzlies uniform.
I'll do you one better, and I'll say that Ja Morant will be the best Grizzly that will ever have graced and put on a jersey. He will be the best one, period.
I, Yeah, I agree to an extent. I think, yes, I do think that there's a very good chance at the end of the day, he is going to have the best, you know, Grizzlies itself career. I don't necessarily know if he's going to be as good as Pau Gasol. Pau Gasol, in my opinion, is a Hall of Fame player. But do I think that Morant will eventually have a season in which he'll garner MVP consideration? Yes. So I agree with you 100%. I do feel, you know, even 5 to 7 years from now, he'll firmly be in the conversation as the greatest Grizzly ever.
You think Pau Gasol is the greatest Grizzly ever?
I think that Pau Gasol, the best way for me to describe it is this. I think that Pau Gasol is until Ja Morant's career is over. I'm not saying Ja Morant's going to be a Hall of Famer. I don't know. I feel that of all the talents that have played in Memphis, Pau Gasol is the talent that has the best chance of being in the Hall of Fame that spent a significant part of his career with the Grizzlies. I don't count Allen Iverson. I don't count Vince Carter. But in terms of, you know, his run with the Grizzlies, you know, he had 7 seasons with us. He may not have played as the highest level, but in terms of a player having a significant part of their career in Memphis, Zach Randolph, Marc Gasol, none of them have come close to the career that Pau Gasol has.
That's probably fair. I mean, I think it's kind of hard to decipher, like, what, when you say things like, you know, that kind of question, it's kind of hard to decipher where the Grizzlies part stops, because you're like, oh, Pau Gasol, he won, you know, championships. Obviously he's an NBA champion, but that's not, I mean, he is, but that doesn't have anything to do with the Grizzlies. So it's kind of hard, because when you think about it, those are synonymous. When you think about Pau Gasol, it's like, oh, he's an NBA champion, all these other things. But so it's kind of hard to separate those things in terms of, you know, him being a Grizzly and also being an extremely good player. Now, I think Pau Gasol is a very talented player. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying that I think it's difficult to separate those things. I think Zach Randolph's a Hall of Fame player. Like, personally, like, if you look at his stats and everything that he's done, he's right there along with other people who are already in the Hall of Fame. But he did most of that work with the Grizzlies. It's kind of like opposite of Pau Gasol. He did the bulk of his work in terms of how good he was with the Grizzlies. I mean, he was good all along, but the bulk of it was with the back end of his career with the Grizzlies and not necessarily with the Trailblazers.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And that's the thing about it. It comes from the perspective that you look at. The Gasol brothers, Memphis fans will look at them, and you will have as many Memphis fans who will say, well, I just didn't like the way they played. They could have done so much more with their size. And then they'll look at Zach Randolph. Look at Zach Randolph. Look at him overachieve with his size. Well, it's kind of hard to look at it that way. I believe that's a flawed way of looking at it, but that's my perspective. I'm more of a statistical, analytical type, you know, when I look at it. And, you know, to me, Pau Gasol had the best season in Grizzlies franchise history by an individual player. And, you know, Mark was a different style of player than Zach Randolph, and I think more effective at times. So it comes down to it. It comes down to what your preferences are for a player. And in my opinion, yes, I think when you look at a Grizzly who was either drafted by the team or spent a significant part of his career with the team, I think that Pau Gasol is head and shoulders above the rest in terms of how his career played out, you know, as having a Hall of Fame case. I personally think that Marc Gasol has more of a Hall of Fame case than Zach Randolph.
I think so too, for sure. I mean, well, I don't know. I think they both have a case for it. I don't know if they'll both, I don't know if either one of them again, honestly, just because I think it's hard for people to understand what all it takes to be a Hall of Fame player. And it doesn't just take championships. I mean, there are a lot of people that are not champions that are Hall of Fame players. So I think it'll be interesting. Let's take a quick break. We're going to get back on track and talk about this season coming up next. Welcome back to the show. Talking some of our favorite seasons with Sean and myself on today's episode, for kind of part two from our previous episode yesterday. Got a little off track in the first segment. That's totally okay, because there's nothing else to talk about. But this season itself, I think that one of the biggest surprises to me is that how efficient Taylor Jenkins was with the offense. With, honestly, like, when I was doing the preview for this season, like, I think I said that they were going to win 21 games or 22. I was the lowest, and thank God I was wrong on that. But, like, you know, one of the biggest surprises to me is like the way Taylor Jenkins was able to do what he did with the offense with what he was given. Because like when you look at the roster on paper before the season ever started, you were like, I don't know about that. Like, you know, like there are a lot of things that are a lot of question marks, a lot of like, I don't know if this, you know, there's a lot of offense there, this, that, and the other. And at times, you know, that did struggle, but it didn't all like out of like nowhere. It just shot to the top and it was like, this is impressive, like to say the least, which is always kind of why I said, like, I can't wait till we get some, you know, some serious wing talent with this roster, because I think what he's doing now would just would be elevated to an nth degree with someone with a supremely talented wing who can knock down shots.
Yeah, record wise, you know, you would not look at this as being one of the best seasons ever. But in terms of the concept of what we were supposed to be and what we became, it really is. This has been one of the biggest transformations that we've seen. And I mean, really, just to break it down for you, think about that. Before the season started, probably the Grizzlies' top three weaknesses was shooting, depth, and defense. And then from December on, we were a top, we spent more than a month as a top 10 team in three-point shooting. From mid-January on, we had a top five bench in the league, and we were a top five defense. And it wasn't because our talent just, you know, became, our talent didn't change that much. As a matter of fact, we lost some of our veteran players. It was the genuine development that Coach Jenkins and his staff did with the players. De'Anthony Melton, Dylan Brooks, Josh Jackson, you know, Kyle Anderson being healthy, Tyus Jones settling into the system. All of that came together, and it is a hat tip to Taylor Jenkins. And that's why it's so encouraging. And you know, this arguably has been the best, you know, it's not arguably, it has been the best offensive team in Grizzlies history, which is now needed in today's NBA. But for me, even more so is the fact that we came into the season with clear weaknesses. And the reason why we're in a playoff spot for whenever the season comes back is because Jenkins over time was able to turn each of those weaknesses into a strength, especially being able to overcome, you know, some of the injuries that have occurred.
Yeah, I was really impressed. You know, the defense has been kind of, it started off really terrible, but then it came along. That's probably one of the other things that impressed me is that, you know, I think it's gotten better and better. Like there are clear advances in what he's trying to do in terms of offensive scheme, defensive scheme, all those type of things. Like the numbers, you can see, like in terms of where we started in November, December, January, February, all that kind of stuff, you can see clear upticks and where he's going now. Like, yes, there were some downturns in terms of defense and some points here and there, but for the most part, it's been on a steady rise. And that was one of my biggest criticisms early in the season with the defense was awful. Like it was terrible, and they just couldn't, they could score the basketball, but they couldn't stop anybody else. And so it really didn't matter what they were going to do on the offensive end. So, but it is gone from dead last to average, or a little above average, which is huge. I mean, it's huge for a team that, well, again, it's climbed, I want to say like 15 or 16 spots in terms of just statistical rate, defensive rating since the beginning of the season until whatever they stopped playing at the beginning of March.
And I think that the turning point, you know, I pointed, it's kind of crazy. The past two seasons, turning points in the year have been games against the Spurs. In the 2018-2019 season, we beat the Spurs. I think it was 2018-2019. We beat the Spurs, and we were actually right around Thanksgiving at the top of the Western Conference. We, in 2018, we were number one in the Western Conference like a quarter of the game into the season. Then we played the Spurs, we beat them, and then after that, we go like, you know, 30 games under 500 for the rest of the year. Well, for the Grizzlies, it was early December, I believe, when they gave up 145 points. It was one of the two or three worst defensive performances, you know, in franchise history. And then after that, we turned the corner. And yeah, the schedule had something to do with it. You know, we started playing an easier schedule. We played a lot of home games. But hey, that's the thing about playoff teams. It deals with defense, and it also deals with efficiency, which, you know, we know Brandon Clark had one of the most efficient rookie years ever. Tyus Jones, Jonas, all of them are highly efficient. That allows for you to take care of the games that you're supposed to take care of and win some you're not supposed to. And that's a big reason why, you know, we were able to surprise people, you know, from December on.
Yeah, to put it like this, to put it a little bit in perspective what they're doing this year, and their record is currently 32-33. So they're one game below 500. So to put it in perspective for you, the stats guy, if you go to Basketball Reference, there are like 20 stats that you can track in terms of league ranking. They're more than that, but 20 that probably matter. They're like minutes played and personal fouls, which don't matter to us. And they're ranking the top 10 in 10 of those categories. So like 50%, they're in the top 10 and they're mostly offense. So it's pretty impressive. And the most impressive stat has been all year long as the amount of assists that they're able to get on a nightly basis, the ball movement, the what they're doing to get people open looks. And that starts with John Moran, obviously even Tyus Stones, but like, those are the things that probably the most impressive thing is the ball movement. I thought that was going to be a blip on the radar, like when the first few games of the year, October, November, like, ah, they have a like the assist to field goals, like, you know, field goals made is huge. They're only like five or six off every night, which is like, is unusual in the NBA. And it's never wavered. It has stayed like that all year long, which is just a credit, obviously, to Taylor Jenkins offense. Again, like we talked about earlier, that's one of the also most impressive things about this team.
Agreed. And the other thing about it is that it's also the formation of the fact we haven't even seen this team at its best. We make this big move at the trade deadline to get Justice Winslow. He hasn't played a regulation minute yet in
a Grizzlies
uniform. But that's what I'm saying. When you think about it, you've got Ja, Dylan, Justice, Jaren, and Jonas in the starting lineup. Then you've got Tyus, DeAnthony, Kyle, Brandon, and Gorgie Dang, you know, as a second lineup. The Grizzlies legitimately are two lineups deep with very good players who can start for, you know, several teams. So to have that depth and to be able to have all of those players are under contract into next year, that's what's so encouraging about it. We haven't even seen this team with its full array of talent available, number one. And number two, when we do, the depth may get even better. So that's the other thing to know about this team. We haven't played at full strength yet, and it's going to open some eyes when we do.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you got guys like, you know, Grayson Allen, who I think is an absolute ball player. Who's been hurt? Well, been hurt for the rest of the year, obviously, but he was playing well. You know, whatever looked like at the beginning of the year, the roster that I thought was going to be shaky or not very deep or not very good has turned out, like you mentioned, to be a two team deep kind of team, and possibly more, which is an extremely good problem to have. And so we'll probably go into this offseason having to make some decisions on some guys, but that's okay. Like, you want to be in that situation where you got too many guys that you need to deal one to probably make space for other people, or just have them on your roster to be there. Like, some guys are okay with just being at the end of the bench and just playing whenever they can. So you need those type of people on your team. And so, that's really impressive. Like, whatever the roster we thought was at the beginning of this year has been completely different. In a lot of ways, it is completely different, even with the same people, because of Taylor and what he's able to offer. Let's take another quick break. We'll be right back. Let's talk about the 2012-2013 team on the other side. Welcome back to the show. Talking favorite seasons of the Grizzlies with Sean and myself. We talked a little bit about the Grizzlies season this year because, like myself and Sean, it's one of our favorites to watch just because, I think, you know, like we mentioned in the previous segment, expectations were low, and they've obviously done well above that. Ja Morant has been fantastic. But one of the other seasons that this year or this for the Grizzlies, one of my favorites personally, obviously I think one of a lot of people's favorites, is 2012-2013, that year that they went to the Western Conference Finals, because that playoff race was, or that playoff, the playoffs were so fun. They beat the Clippers, they beat the Thunder, two teams at that time that were some of the biggest rivals for the Grizzlies. And I want to say that was the year that Zach Randolph also fell on Blake Griffin in one of the games and squashed him like a bug.
Yes.
That was that year too. Yeah. Like, man, that aside, whatever happened in the regular season, the playoffs themselves, those 2 weeks were some of the most fun weeks I think I remember ever watching Grizzlies games.
Agreed. And I want to take you back to the actually to the season before, you know, the 2011-2012 season. Just thinking about how that ended and how it correlated over to the 2012-2013 season. You know, the 11-12 season, the Grizzlies finished the season 16-5. And then they go into playoffs to face the Clippers. And I remember those games specifically. I was in Martin, Tennessee at the time, and I believe that both of those games were two Sundays apart. They were early Sunday afternoon games, game one and game seven. Obviously, we all remember the game one in which the Grizzlies were up like 20, 25 points, and then Nick Young has the game of his life and scores like 15 points in like the final 3 minutes. And then, of course, that leads to game seven in which we don't show up. I mean, we lost 82-72. But we take that and we go into the 2012-2013 season, have the best season that we have had, the most wins in, you know, franchise history. But the big thing that we did in that Clippers series, we actually were down 2-0 in that Clippers series. But what happened was that kind of like in, you know, the when Conley got hurt for us, whenever Zach got in that squabble with Blake Griffin, Blake Griffin got hurt. And I'm not saying that, you know, that had a big deal to do with it. And the Grizzlies just took over. They broke the Clippers' spirit, and they took over. And, Mark, I will tell you this. I don't know if you were at that game six of that first-round series. That is the defining moment of my time as a Grizzlies fan. It was the most fun I've ever had at a Grizzlies game.
And I think people – this is the year that Marc Gasol was Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
But people forget – I don't think people remember as much as how good he was on offense. Like, this is one of the years that Mark really showed up. I mean, he had, like – 5 assists a game. I don't remember what exactly it was. It was several assists per game. But even more importantly, he was scoring the basketball. Like, his offense showed up more. You know, his defense was great. No, obviously, he's Defensive Player of the Year. But I think people forget how good he was on offense, which let Zach Randolph be good, like, which let Mike Conley be, like, Mike Conley was really good on offense, which let Zach Randolph be good in space. Like, there were those times where the Grizzlies of, the core four era was just so compacted, and that was the thing that everybody screamed, but we need a shooter to really open up the offense. And if they ever had one, it would have been great because they really did need one. But this year, with Mark, I think operating from the high post, most of what he did really opened it up as much as it could for Zach. And I think people forget about how good Marc Gasol was on offense that year. And imagine if he actually shot threes, that would have been even better.
Yeah, he was all defensive player of the year. He was both on the all defensive team. He was the NBA Defensive Player of the Year. And I believe that was one of the years that he was an all NBA member. I think that he finished second on the all NBA team. I can't find it for sure. But yes, Gasol was absolutely an anchor. I mean, that year you could not have had. That's why the Clippers and Grizzlies were such a big rivalry, and that was the peak of that rivalry for the Grizzlies. It was because they were two teams who the strength of their teams were down low. You know, Zach and Mark, and then Blake. And I can't – the guys – who was the Clipper center?
DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah. There we go. What I'm getting at is that you have two teams who were built inside out. Of course, the Clippers had Chris Paul, but they were such a different style of team. The Clippers were all offense, all show, and things like that. They were trying to recreate the Lakers Showtime, Lob City. But then the Grizzlies were a physical, grinded-out defensive team, and we broke their spirit. We legitimately broke their spirit, just like that game one the previous year broke ours. But the Grizzlies winning that Clippers series, that game six, that along with the Russell Westbrook injury is what propelled us to the Western Conference Finals, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they get past the Oklahoma Thunder if Russ Westbrook is playing. I mean, although they were a good matchup for OKC, no matter what, who was playing that, you know, no matter what. But obviously, it happens in playoffs. You know, you get lucky. Sometimes you're at the right place at the right time. And that's what Memphis, they were at the right place at the right time, which is aided in the fact that they got swept the next series by the Spurs. So, like, they were good. Obviously, they weren't as good as we probably thought they were going to be, but you know, they were as good as, like you mentioned in the first segment, that's the epitome of Grizzlies as good as it gets. Like, that was as good as they were ever going to be, and that was as good as core four was ever, that was as far as they were ever going to get, I think. You know, obviously that's the only thing they did, but even if they did other things, I think, you're limited by who's on the court. And there was just, they were never enough pieces around those guys to make it work. You know, you had people like Quincy Pondexter in that series, in that series, the playoff run was good, but you never quite had enough people off the bench or around them to really maximize how good Zach and Mike and Mark were.
And that's the thing about it is that I'm just looking at, you know, the playoff run that we had, you know, during that, you know, opportunity. The Grizzlies, it was amazing to see how well they performed in the playoffs that year. We lost 112-91 to the Clippers in game one of the first round. We lost the next one. So we're down 2-0. But then we sit here and we don't let the Clippers, we hold them to 82, 83, 93, and then 105 points to win four straight games to win that out. Another thing a lot of people don't remember, that Oklahoma City game, we were actually up by 9 or 10 points in the going into the fourth quarter of game one. And then I think it was Durant. It was someone else that went off too. I want to say that it may have been the Kings guard. Evidently, my mind's not working today. But he was the shooting guard for the Kings who went to the Thunder. Anywho, he was going off Kevin something. Anywho, it was the Thunder came back and won that game. But then the Grizzlies held them to 93, 81, 97, and 84 points. We held the Spurs under 100 points twice as well. So the Grizzlies played, they made their opponents play their style of ball. Even though we were 0-4 against the Spurs in the playoffs, we went to two overtimes. So that was why, you know, if you want to make an argument about 2012, 2013 being, you know, the best year ever, it was our best record. We made it further than anybody, but it was because we made them play the style of ball that the Grizzlies were good at. And that's one thing about this year's team that we're going to have to start doing in the future, making these teams play our style of ball. That's when the Grizzlies grit and grind teams were the best, when they made the opponents play their style of ball.
I think you're absolutely right. It was fun. They never had enough offense to really get there. And that's unfortunate. We're all always sit here, remember, and think about what could have been. Sean, I appreciate it today. We're going to do it again, obviously, next week, guys. We have three more episodes coming out next week. I think next week we're doing best – our favorite moments from this season, just specific moments. So we're gonna work on that, get an idea of what we're gonna talk about. We'll work on that after that today. So that's probably our plan for next week as well. We got some other stuff coming up. Sean's had some great ideas, so we'll do that. Sean, what's your Twitter handle?
It's StatsSAC. And one last thing, the Bulls' Last Dance documentary starts this Sunday.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
If you, both Mark and myself, were in our early 30s, Jordan was the epitome of sports during our childhoods. If you, I don't care what age you are, if you want a documentary, especially considering the times that we're in, if you want something to keep your attention, this is going to be better than Tiger King. Watch it and enjoy and embrace it.
It will be, on that moment, it will be honestly, like, I'm 34. So the Jordan thing was like a little, he was like right before, like, I mean, I understood it. Like I liked Michael Jordan because my brothers did, but I didn't really understand it. And so I think it'd be fun for me to watch just because you see a lot of those things. You see how good he was when you watch those things back. You know, like I understood it, but not to really, you know, wasn't old enough to really fully grasp how good he was, you know, in terms of basketball. So that'll be fun to watch too. So yes, watch that. We'll talk about that on Monday, Tuesday. I don't know if I'll be able to watch it when it comes out because I have, you know, kids. So we'll see, but we'll talk about that next week too. So I appreciate you doing this. We'll do this next week. Make sure you follow Sean on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter @King_producer. Follow the show on Twitter @LockedOnGrizz. Go subscribe, whatever podcast platform you're using, so you don't miss an episode every single week. For Sean and myself, we'll talk to you then.
Have a great week.